On the edge of real and cyberspace, there's one place you can go.
Welcome to Nightwise.com.
Nightwise.com.
Tired of choosing between Macs, Linux, and OS X? Listen to the Nightwise.com podcast and learn how to slide from operating system to operating system using our hack tips and tweaks for cross-platform geeks. Tune tech into your way of life and let technology work for you instead of the other way around.
On the edge of real and cyberspace, there's one place you can go. And you found it. Welcome to Nightwise.com, the one and only podcast with hacks, tips, and tweaks for cross-platform geeks. Whether you are a Windows, a Linux, a Mac, an iOS, an Android, or a Windows Phone user, we have the stuff you need to tune tech into your way of life and let that technology work for you. My name's Nightwise. For the coming episode, I'll be your host, where we are going to talk about USB sticks. It's time for Season 6, Episode 2, Life on a Stick. For more information and the show notes, head on over to the website, www.nightwise.com. That's K-N-I-G-H-T-W-I-S-E.com, where you will find the links to everything we talk about and the Nightwise.com media feed. Don't forget to subscribe to that feed and get all of the Nightwise.com podcasts and screencasts delivered your favorite podcatcher, automatically letting technology work for you. If you want to get in touch with us, you can. Feedback@nightwise.com for all of your voicemails if you ever want to send them and get them played on the show. Or you can also find us on the plenty of social media scapes out there. We've got a group on Facebook, and that can be found by going to nightwise.com/Facebook. You can follow our tweets on Twitter by going to nightwise.com/Twitter. And real geeks hang out at the Google Plus community, which we have, and you can find that one over at nightwise.com/Google+, all one word. And you might want to join up because we've got some fun stuff in store there. If you're a real-time geek that loves IRC, you can go to our chat room. That's nightwise.com on Freenode, but you can find it by just going to nightwise.com/IRC. And you can also find some real-time geeks hanging out there doing cross-platform things. Hey, guys and girls, it is Monday evening. Got my cup of coffee right in front of me. It's time to record another show. I'm staring at two giant 24-inch Linux screens, which are powered by a Linux box, and I'm recording in Audacity. I've got a little bit of an open source night tonight. But my coffee, that's not open source. It's just, you know, Senseo. I don't know how it's made. And I don't know how the machine compiles a coffee, but that's okay. Because coffee's good, and by the sound and pitch and tempo of my voice, I might just have had a cup too much. But that's not really important right now, because coffee is good. Welcome to the show, where today we are going to talk about portable USB discs. You know, those little thumb drives that you've got all over the place, and we are going to get some cool ideas what you can do with them. I did an episode back way back, and I'm thinking it's about 6 years ago, on this very topic, what you could do with a USB stick, and I called it Life on a Stick. And I thought, you know, after 6 years, a lot has changed, and there is a lot that we can show you and teach you what you can do with a USB thumb drive. They are extremely large these days, and they are extremely small in size, large in capacity, and very, very good in price. So instead of just, you know, lugging around your My Little Pony collection and sharing it with your other My Little Pony fans across, you know, the office, because, you know, USB sticks are perfect for that sneaker net. But you can also do a lot of other things with them. That's something that we are going to talk about today. A little bit of cross-platform sliding using a thumb drive. So quite a little bit of technical stuff to get through. Time to get into the meat of the matter. I am old. I am so old. I remember a time when we could actually cut a physical hole in a floppy drive that was floppy. Back in the Commodore 64 days, I remember getting a little puncher that would punch a hole in the side of a 5 1/4 inch floppy to make it from single-sided to double-sided so I could write on it on both sides of the floppy drive. The amount of storage that you could store on that floppy drive was ridiculously low. I think it was about 700K. I'm not really sure. It's a good question for you guys out there if you can tell me a little bit more about what a floppy drive, a double-sided, double-density floppy drive could ever store back in those Commodore 64 days. Tell me about it. I also remember the first 3 1/4 inch drives and floppies that I would have. I had one on my Amiga, and I thought it was the greatest thing since sliced bread and cheesecake, because it made such a cool sound. It was so cool. We could actually put data on there and carry it around. Back in the days when the internet just simply didn't exist, it was the only alternative that we had. Back in the days when BitTorrent and peer-to-peer file sharing didn't exist, it was the only way to actually physically copy and distribute games. When it was completely illegal, but, you know, that was not the issue back then. We stored our files on there. Yes, yes, files we wrote ourselves. But the great thing was that without a network and stuff like that, you could carry stuff around and have your data with you anywhere. I remember plastic boxes that you would have with clear casings on the top where you could file all of your floppy drives into and you could flip through them. It was cool. It was actually a very nice system, but because of its limited storage capacity, it was actually quite ridiculous because if I still recall, a 3.5 floppy disk had about 1.5 megabytes that you could store on it. And, you know, if you go take a look at the Amiga days, for you young kids who don't know what an Amiga is, Google it, you could have pretty cool games back in the late 80s, early 90s, on your computer, on these small floppy drives. Now, the floppy drive came and went, and the USB thumb drive reared up its ugly head. I remember small thumb drives that cost a lot of money, 32 megabytes they had, or 64 megabytes. But these days, we are talking gigabytes. 64 gigabyte thumb drive is available readily wherever you can find it. 16 gigabyte is something that nearly doesn't cost anything. 4 gigabyte is cheap, and anything below that is just ridiculous, because, you know, there's a lot to be said about USB thumb drives. They're cheap, they're inexpensive, they have a pretty good capacity, they're fairly fast, and you can carry them around anywhere. It's the greatest way to store your files on a USB thumb drive and then lose the thumb drive. Yes, they are small, they are inexpensive, but they are also ridiculously easy to lose. So what can we do with all of these drives? Yes, you can use them as kind of a sneaker net. If you don't have a network connection or you need to get some files across, it's always easy to do stuff with them. But, you know, there are more uses than just using them as kind of a glorified floppy disk drive box. Floppy disk drive box. That's a word. Those were those boxes with the clear tops and all of the floppy drives in them. And basically the capacity of your thumb drive these days is about 10 times of a floppy disk drive box with a clear case. So instead of using them just for data, I thought, you know what, I'm going to take this down a little bit more geekier road and see what I can teach and show you what you can do with all of these drives. Now, before we dive into the meat of the matter, I am going to differentiate between two kinds of drives, or thumb drives. And these can be thumb drives, or these can actually also be external USB hard disks, as long as they don't need to be powered, because otherwise stuff that I'm going to mention doesn't really work, or it gets pretty hard. So just, you know, take the thumb drives as an example. There are two kinds of thumb drives. There are secure drives and insecure drives. Because what you put on such a thumb drive is actually going to make a difference whether or not that drive is secure or insecure. You can have the greatest network in human history. You can have the most awesome firewall that is so advanced, it's just not ready to go sentient just yet. But once you name it Skynet, it's robots and rockets and Sarah Connor and John Connor and Terminators all over the place. You can have a network that is super secure, and then you'll have one nitwit in your network that actually puts all of his data on his thumb drive and then loses it. I've seen government secrets be lost with USB thumb drives. There was a nice story of the Dutch military that had, I don't know how many confidential data files lost due to the fact that somebody lost his thumb drive on the train. If you look at the latest James Bond movie, oh, hell to pay, shooting and stuff, because she loses her laptop or her thumb drive. M loses it. She's an old git. She's starting to get old. She doesn't know these tiny, tiny things anymore. But it also works the other way around. A lot of hacks are being done today with thumb drives. You can just put a Trojan on a thumb drive and just leave it lying around. Somebody will find the thumb drive and they will always just jack it into their system and see what it does. And meanwhile, the Trojan runs in the background and circumvents the super intelligent, not really Skynet yet, but getting ready to build Terminator class firewall infrastructure that you have in place. So there are secure drives which hold data that is secure, and then there are insecure drives that don't hold data that's secure. So, you know, that picture of you wearing the My Little Pony outfit with, you know, the pom-poms and the unicorn sticking on your head and stuff like that, it might be fun to keep those. It might be embarrassing if you lose them. So we consider those things confidential data, and hence the thumb drive that you're going to put it on is going to be called a secure drive. If the data on the thumb drive is, well, available on the internet or not really classified, we'll classify them under insecure drives. On secure drives, if we are talking about any kind of data, whether that's corporate data, personal data, anything that is related to you or that might not fall into the is not really a good thing if it falls into the wrong hands, we can consider those secure drives, and we need to have special precautions in place to make sure that our data that's on there, that the secure data that's on there, is in fact secure. If it's insecure drive, it can be anything. It can be data that's readily available, like, for example, utilities you've downloaded from the internet, or temporary files, or, the MP3 collection of Nightwise.com that you've got on that USB stick. Go ahead, lose it. You can just download it again, and the person who finds that USB drive is going to be really happy because he's going to be introduced to the Nightwise.com podcast. We see them as insecure drives holding insecure data, utilities, or for example, portable applications, and tools. So those are the two kinds of drives we are going to talk about. So I'm going to start with insecure drives, drives that hold tools and data and stuff that can be lost, but it's not a nightmare if they are lost, because the stuff that's that you can put on an insecure drive is pretty powerful because it's very versatile. And I'm going to give you some examples of what you can do with a thumb drive and how you can use it to make tech whenever you need to work, really work for you. What if you are just walking around from computer to computer and suddenly you are in need of an application? For example, you are walking around and you are coming into a friend's house, and the friend has a cool computer and he wants you to do something. He says, like, can you clean my system? Can you do this? Can you do that? And you said, wouldn't it be great if I had that application with me? Yes, you can have a thumb drive with the .exe file on it, but you don't want to do just that. You don't want to install applications onto that computer, or perhaps you cannot have applications installed on their computer. For example, you have got a very cool laptop from work, but you don't have admin rights. You cannot install anything on it. And still, you want to run Chrome and other cool applications. What can you do? How can you have your applications with you wherever you go without ever having to install anything? Well, the answer is portable applications. Portable apps are great little standalone applications that run without being installed. And you can have portable apps on the Mac, you can have portable apps on Linux, but mostly this is a Windows-related thing. Now, one of the things that you want to take a look at is the website portableapps.com. Let's say you've got a USB thumb drive and you are regularly hopping from computer to computer and you wish to have your favorite applications, Windows applications, with you whenever you want to. Portableapps.com is a great website where you go to and you install the Portable Apps Installer. This is a little exe file. You need to run this on a computer that doesn't necessarily needs to give you install rights, but you just double click the exe file that you downloaded and you point it towards your USB stick. Portable Apps is going to install an application on your USB stick that is kind of a launcher. Anytime you stick it into your computer, you will have a little icon in the bottom of your taskbar that actually shows you a start menu. And in this start menu are several applications that you can run. And the cool thing is they will run from the USB disk and write to the USB disk. And the cool thing about that is if you have if you do not have write permission on a system, you cannot install files, or perhaps you cannot write to the directories on the hard drive, you will have read and write rights to your USB sticks. At least most computers are set up that way. And the cool thing is this will actually run without being installed into the system. So if you yank out the USB drive, there will be no trace of the applications that you have. Your applications are isolated into your USB stick. You can take them with you everywhere. They will not leave a trace and they will work on any Windows computer. Now, portableapps.com is pretty darn cool because they've got the greatest stuff that you can just install using their point and click interface. Using their menu, you can actually say, okay, this is what I want. I would like to have Firefox. I would like to have Chrome. I would like to have Skype. I would like to have FileZilla. And the list goes on and on and on and on. The great thing is that you will have your favorite applications with you anywhere. The other great thing is that if you need to do a special trick on a computer that is kind of locked down, these portable apps will actually help you a lot. Portable Apps is free and does allow you to install a lot of applications on your USB stick and take it with you anywhere. I like to use it on lockdown computers. I like to use it in the library where I want my own browser instead of the library browser. I always have my portable apps with me whenever I need to go to friends or family because I don't want to use their browser or leave traces on their computer. I just want to use my own applications in their operating system environment. It's pretty cool. The other thing is they also have great fix-it tools like CCleaner and an antivirus and stuff that you can run straight from your USB stick without ever having to install anything on the system and without leaving a trace. I really like it. If you are a Linux guy, well, why not have some scripts on there that you will always have with you whenever you come upon a Linux computer? You can have, you know, copy scripts or scripts that help you zip things or whatever you wrote customly and have that with you anywhere. With Linux, it's harder to run an application off of a portable app. But, you know, if you're a Linux geek and you come close to a Linux system, the chances are that you will have some stuff that you can do from there. Basically, the rule is in Linux and in Windows, anything that you can run from your home folder and that you can write to in your home folder is something that you can do on a portable USB stick, whether those are scripts or applications like portable apps. On the Mac, it's harder. You can put app files on your USB stick and click on them, but they will leave a preference file in the home directory of the user. So you have to be a little bit careful with that. The cool thing is, if you don't have admin rights, you are not allowed to drag applications to the applications folder. But that's actually pretty okay, because you can just leave them on the USB stick and run them from there. So in Linux, in Mac, on a Mac, and in Windows, it's great to have apps with you anywhere. Because of these applications, most of them don't store any any user information or personal information, because you have to be careful what you do there. They're pretty okay if you lose them. Just see it as a little bit of a toolkit that you will have with you anywhere. But there is more, because in portable apps, with portable apps, you need the base operating system. You need to have a Windows machine, a Linux machine, or a Mac to run them on. They don't have an operating system by themselves. That is something that you can actually change by using what I call portable tools. Portable tools are kind of like an operating system on its own that will run from your USB stick on any computer. Now, why should you do this? Whenever you want to do something with a system without involving the operating system, a portable tool or a portable pen drive with a portable tool operating system on it, and I'll get into details a little bit later on, will help you do this. For example, just imagine a rug. You're standing on the rug and you need to roll up the rug. You cannot do so because you are standing on it. If you are, for example, a Windows machine and you need to make a complete clone of yourself, a copy, you cannot, because you are actually running that operating system. So what if you could get underneath and run your own, on the side, run your own operating system without having the operating system that's on the hard drive get in the way? What if you could use the computer without using the operating system on the computer? Imagine what you could do. One of the things that you can do is, and I'll start simple. For example, clone the drive. I bought a new computer a couple of weeks ago. You might have seen it on the Google Plus group, and it was a IBM ThinkPad. I like it. I really do. And it comes with one of these recovery partitions and stuff like that. So if you press a button, it will restore itself. Now, I don't really need that all that much, because it's a Windows 7 recovery partition and it comes with a lot of bloatware. But I also don't have an install CD for Windows 7 and the drivers of an IBM ThinkPad and all of the bloatware. So I always need to use that partition to restore my computer should I come to the point of where I perhaps want to sell it. If you buy a new laptop these days, chances are very high that there is a restore partition on that drive. That's good, not so good, and handy and not so handy, because sometimes it's great to restore your system just like that, but sometimes you really want to do your own thing with that drive. So one of the first things that I did is I said, you know what, I want an image or a copy of that entire drive, and I'll store it somewhere else. Now, in order to make a copy of the entire drive, I could not boot into Windows or into any other operating system, because then the drive would be accessed. I needed something underneath or on the side of that very operating system. So what I used was CloneZilla. CloneZilla is a great live CD or a live USB stick that does just that. I downloaded the ISO file and used an application like UNetBootin, which we'll get into a little bit later on, to copy it to a USB disk. Or USB thumb drive. I booted from the thumb drive into CloneZilla. CloneZilla saw all of the hard drives, or just one hard drive, inside the system, but it was actually powerful enough to run the computer on its own without using the hard drive, without using the Windows on the hard drive, and without using the recovery partition. So I said to CloneZilla, you know what? I want an image of that hard drive, and I want it copied on a secondary hard drive that I've hooked up via USB, or I would like to have that image pushed away via the network. And I could do that without actually accessing the operating system on the hard drive. I could clone the entire hard drive and put it away. Why was this important? Now I can just play around with the hard drive and delete partitions and do whatever I want to do. But whenever I want to sell the laptop and I want to put everything back on it, I just boot up with my CloneZilla USB thumb drive and I restore the image. So CloneZilla is a great way to actually take a working operating system and clone it without actually using the operating system. It's a great application. It's free and it gives you a lot of possibilities. What I did afterwards was I wanted to make sure that the hard drive was okay. So I went and installed Spinrite, also an application. It's not free. You can buy it at grc.com. And this will actually test your hard drive. Now, for any self-respecting IT guy that is out there, Spinrite is an essential. Spinrite is a tool that will analyze the hard drive and fix any errors if there are any. For example, your grandma calls and she says, yeah, I've got my Windows machine and it gives me a bootloader missing or startup file missing or a blue screen. There might be something wrong. What are you going to do? How can you actually take a look at some of the things that are happening on the drive? Spinrite will help you do this. Spinrite is a great tool for data recovery if something goes wrong or to just maintain your hard drive. What I did, because I just bought the laptop and I wanted to be sure that everything worked, I booted up with my USB thumb drive with Spinrite and I took a look at if the hard drive was in order and I did maintenance on it. So also, if the operating system should crash and you need something to repair the hard drive, or take care of the data on the hard drive, a live system like Spinrite is also very, very interesting. But you can also take it a little bit further. What if you have several partitions on that hard drive? You've got a Windows partition on there, and it's a little bit too big or it's a little bit too small. For example, you have a C drive and a D drive, and your C drive is running out of space and your D drive has plenty of space. How can you enlarge the C drive and kind of make the D drive smaller or make an extra drive? I don't know. In Windows, it's kind of hard to do because Windows says, well, I just cannot move or repartition the partition I'm actually running on. I cannot, you know, clean the rug while I'm on the rug. So you need a tool called Gparted. Gparted, also a ISO that you can download and put on a USB thumb drive, will help you repartition basically anything. It will boot up on its own, see your drive, and it will be able to repartition partitions without you actually running the operating system that's on the drive. You can also sideload it, you know, it's kind of like sideloading it, and repartition stuff without using the OS that you're working with. Gparted is a free and open source version of the powerful partition magic that we used to use. Another great toolkit there is a rescue CD, the rescue CD, that's what it's called. It's a live CD that you can download. And I'll put links to all of these distros in the show notes. And this has all kinds of tools that you can use when you need to fix a computer that is no longer booting or when you need to get into a computer without using the operating system. Very, very nice. It's a collection of tools. I'll put a link in the show notes. Now, this is pretty cool to do, having a toolkit with you using a USB stick. And I've actually got a couple of USB sticks, which are a little bit smaller with my essentials on it. I've got one with CloneZilla, I've got one with Spinrite, and one with Gparted. And whenever I need to, I just have my basic toolkit with me. No matter what computer I encounter, I can, well, if it's a Mac, it has to be an Intel, because these are Intel images. I just chuck in the USB disk and boot from the USB disk and I can do whatever I want to do. Really cool tool set that you should not go without. And aside from Spinrite, which isn't a lot of money and totally worth it, especially if you're on the brink of losing stuff, these are essentials that you want to do. Now, you can also have a problem where you need to get into the data on a system without having access to the system. What I'm going to tell you is kind of, it's like a sword, okay? You can use it to cut grass, and you can use it to chop somebody's arm off. So wield your power with responsibility. These are ways and tools to do stuff that can help people, but you can also be an evil guy. So with great power comes great responsibility, okay? Remember that, Spider-Man out there. What you can actually do with a live USB stick and an operating system on a live USB stick is quite powerful. Because, for example, you've got Windows XP or Windows 7 installed on your system. And you start up Windows 7, and Windows 7 says, well, before you can access the data, you need to give me your password and your login. You give it your login and your password, and you're in. And then you can access the drives. What if I told you that you could actually access those files quite easily without needing to log in, or even without needing to boot up Windows at all? For example, you've got a family member that has lost his password. He cannot remember it. He doesn't know that. He doesn't know it anymore. And he says, I got it on there and I really need it. You can take a portable operating system, like, for example, Linux, that is on a USB stick, and boot the system from the USB stick. What you then have is a portable operating system. The computer will boot the operating system on the USB stick, not on the hard drive. Once it's booted, the portable operating system will see a hard drive. And on that hard drive, it will probably see folders. And on those folders, it can probably access those folders, because the security on those folders is based on the security of the operating system on your machine and not on the USB drive. Windows XP or Windows 7 might say, no, you cannot access these files. You have not logged in. Live CD doesn't care, because it's not the operating system. It just logs on from the USB stick and it says, hey, there's a drive and there's some folders. Want to look at them? And you can probably not write to the system. That has to do with file types of NTFS and FAT. It's a little bit too technical, but you can get them off. Now, you can do this to recover systems from somebody who has lost their password, recover their data, help them. Or you can use it when the operating system has completely crashed. Like, for example, a Windows XP goes completely crashing, burning, bar, blue screen, nothing. How can I get my data? Well, you've got that USB disk with that live operating system. So that thumb drive, you can use it to access the data. So great power, great responsibility. You can also actually have a laptop lying right in front of you, to which is not yours, to which you have no access, and you want to take a look at what's on it. So without touching the operating system, you can use the live operating system on the USB disk to actually hack into the drive. So, as I said, be careful what you do with that. Great power, great responsibility. Now, what if hacking into the data isn't enough? What if getting into the My Documents folder isn't enough? What if you really need to get into the operating system? Well, you can change the Windows password, recover the Windows password. And you've got live CDs for that too, or portable operating systems for that too. And one of them is Backtrack Linux. You can download the ISO, install it on the USB stick, boot from the USB stick, and tell Backtrack to crack the Windows password. And it will do this. If you're a little bit handy, you log into the system with the reset or the recovered password that you've set yourself, because there's a trick there. It will not show you the current password of the operating system or of the Windows installed on the hard drive, but it will be able to reset it. So whenever you log in, you will have probably, and you don't know the original password, well, you cannot change it back to the original password. So you will always leave a trace. But it is very handy if a user does actually lose his password and still needs to get access to the system. So for those things, these portable operating systems are very, very interesting, because you boot from the USB stick, you take control of the computer, you do what you need to do, and you get out. And the tools and everything that you have on the USB sticks stays exactly the same. I have one USB stick on which I've got a very basic Ubuntu install. I use it as a live CD, which means that I plug it into a computer, I boot from it, I do something, And then I just shut it down and it's pristine. It doesn't leave any marks. It doesn't remember what I did. Nothing that I did in the operating system gets written back to the USB disk. For me, that is a great way to do banking. I want to make sure that I have a out of the box, completely vanilla operating system with nothing and no history and no recollection of what happened the previous time when it booted to do my banking. Whenever I need to do my banking on a strange computer, I'm not going to use the operating system that's on there. I have my little USB stick. I put it in. I boot from the portable, live USB operating system. In this case, Ubuntu, but you can use any Linux distro that you like that has a live CD, and just do my banking from there and then shut it back down. I have not touched the operating system. I am not leaving any trace, and the session or the session that I'm doing with the live CD is not remembered by the live CD. It has a memory. It has Dory syndrome. You do something, you log out, it forgets. Who are you? Hey, I'm Nightwise. Oh, hi. I'm going to do this. Okay. And just boot it back up the next time. Hey, who are you? Ah, I'm Nightwise. You see, a live CD doesn't remember. Any changes that I do are just forgotten, which is great for banking and stuff like that, where you need a vanilla and secure environment, and especially if you're not using your own computer. Also, if I get a strange file and I just want to quickly take a look at it, I don't risk my own operating system. I open it into the into the live USB disk to see what it does. Great way to do all that. Portable tools and portable operating systems are great for having the convenience of having with you what you need to have with you. As for portable operating, for the portable tools I mentioned, CloneZilla is great, SpinRite's great, GPartit's great, Rescue CD's great. You can find a ton of them on DistroWatch, and I will put links on the show notes. And the great thing is, because they are quite small, they will fit on these smaller drives, you know, the 1 gigabyte USB drive that you still have lying around. Don't throw it away. It might be too small for data, but it's great for a tool like this. You can, when you do these things, when you choose a live CD or a live portable operating system, you have to make sure that they are that there's a maximum compatibility there. Because, for example, take my Ubuntu live CD. I've got this live USB stick with Ubuntu on it, and I could choose the 64-bit version or the 32-bit version. Now, most computers these days are 64-bit, so I can actually use the 64-bit system should I want to. But what if I encounter a 32-bit computer, a Pentium 4 or something like that? It won't work. So I always use the lowest common denominator. I always use 32-bit systems because they will work on anything. They won't be as fast as the 64 gigabyte versions that can access more memory, but that's not really, speed is not an issue with these portable live USB operating systems. Just go for 32-bit. So for fixing stuff, great. For portable applications, great. And for portable operating systems that give you a vanilla taste of what you want to use, and they don't remember, they don't leave any trace, they don't remember what you did on them. Basically, to have an out-of-the-box operating system, to have tools, or to have portable apps, USB drives are great to do that with. Now, to install these portable operating systems, there are two tools that I would recommend. UNetBootin. We talked about this in the Sliders Academy episode, that you can use to download any ISO, whether that's, I don't know, GPartit or CloneZilla or Ubuntu or Mint or God knows what, anything that has a live CD mode. You can just use UNetBootin, works on the Mac, works on Linux, works on Windows, and Pendrive Linux is also something that you can use on Windows. Links to these apps in the show notes. In the next part, we are going to talk about what it is going to do to your workflow when your data needs to be encrypted. What if these USB drives are going to remember your browser history? What if you want them to store your My Little Pony picture collection? What if you want that photo shoot with you in the, I don't know, Batman costume? What if you want to keep them secure? How is it going to impact your workflow? That is something for the next part, and we're going to talk about it right after this. So we've talked about great tools and we've talked about great ways to do all kinds of cool things with portable USB discs, but what if it needs to be secure? There are a couple of things that you want that we can do with a portable USB drive. As I said, you can store data on them, you can have a portable operating system on them, or you can have portable applications on them. If that data needs to be secure, it's a whole different matter. If you are securing data on a USB disk and it's confidential data, you need to have encryption. Encryption is the process of where your data gets hashed and locked down and coded and encoded and secretized, that's not a word, but it is now, into a blob that people cannot read without having the right key and the right software to unlock it. On both Windows and Mac and Linux, you can actually make a zip file with a password. You can create a zip file using either WinZip or using the command line that has a password. Anybody who tries to open it with an application will need to enter that password before the zip file is unzipped. Now beware with zip files, because sometimes the zip application will write a temporary copy of your files to a location on the hard drive of the Windows computer. These are the temporary files, and leave them there. So if you have a zip file with your pictures and you click on the zip file and you unpack the zip file onto the hard drive of the computer and you take a look at the pictures and then you delete the pictures and you empty out the trash, chances are that there might still be copies of your pictures in the temporary files folder. So always be very careful using zip files. You can also make a TrueCrypt blob. And TrueCrypt is an application that will make a blob of data in which your data is stored. It will make a blob of bits and bytes, and in that it will actually put your files and encrypt it. And you'll need a password and the TrueCrypt application to open them up. TrueCrypt is a Windows application. I'm not really sure if it's on Mac and Linux, but I think it is. I should take a look at the show notes for that. And the cool thing is that you can put both TrueCrypt and your encrypted zip file on one USB disk, but you need to have the password to unlock the TrueCrypt blob and get access to your data. So I can do an entire podcast about TrueCrypt, but I will put a good link into the show notes. It's a free application that you can use, and it will make encrypted blobs that you can store your data into. What I would do is if you store data on a portable USB disk and if it's confidential, make sure that you use some form of encryption. TrueCrypt is pretty handy because they also have a portable application. So you can have your TrueCrypt application and your TrueCrypt data blob with you on one or two drives. And you will always be able to access your data, and it's still locked when you're done, and it doesn't get unpacked into temporary directories and stuff like that. If you want to use encrypted zip files, you can. You can use them on Windows, Linux, and Mac and slide them around from A to B. But as I said, beware of temporary directories. Encryption is important because if you lose your drive and it's not encrypted, people will be able to just shove it into a computer and access your data. You might have passwords on your data, but those are crackable as well. They can copy your data. They can do stuff with your data. If it's encrypted, they cannot see what's going on, at least not without having a serious commitment to cracking your passwords and your codes. So, as I said, TrueCrypt, there is a portable app. And you can also you don't need to encode your applications, but you can. You can make a TrueCrypt blob and inside put your portable apps. And whenever you want to use your portable apps, you first start up TrueCrypt, you unlock the TrueCrypt blob, and then you run your portable apps from there. But I think you're being pretty paranoid then. But it can be something that can be done. So you can actually not only encrypt your data, you can also encrypt your portable apps by putting them in a TrueCrypt blob. You cannot encrypt TrueCrypt because otherwise you cannot unlock TrueCrypt. And that's like putting the cars the keys of your car inside your car and locking the door. You always need the keys. So remember, when it comes down to the operating system, well, you can actually do that as well. With a live CD, as I mentioned before, when you don't boot from the USB disk with the live USB operating system on there, those are just files. And if you decide to actually store data in that live CD, people can just look at it by import, by just, you know, putting the live CD into another system, kind of sideloading it. So you want to actually have something that's more secure. So what if you could have an operating system on a USB stick that runs on any computer, and you can use this operating system just as if it were installed? And with that, I mean, you can install applications and you can customize it and give it your own wallpapers and also put data in there. And when you yank out the stick, you just take it with you. That'd be great. I mean, you would have your operating system on your stick, and it would be, you know, something that would remember your changes. Not like a live CD, but really like a portable operating system. You can do that. It's great. And now for the extra, what if the data that you put on there would be completely secure? Whether you use, if you lose your USB key and somebody finds it and he puts it into a computer, they cannot access their data. If they boot the operating system on the USB key, they cannot access your data. Wouldn't that be cool? What you need for this is two USB disks. It's a nice little hack that I found on the internet, and it was quite funny when I thought of it. And the cool thing why this works is because Linux is a very versatile operating system, and you have to do this with a Linux distro. So we're going to take, I don't know, Ubuntu as an example, for example, or Mint or whatever you want to use. Two USB sticks, one empty one, and one where you have put the USB live CD on. You know, you just download Ubuntu 32 bits and you export and you install it onto one USB key, just like a live CD. And then you need a second USB key that's empty. Put them both in the computer, boot up your computer, let it boot up from the Windows machine with the live USB system, you know, the Ubuntu system, and it will boot up into the computer. And then you say install Linux, install Ubuntu, and it will give you the options. Well, where do you want to install your Ubuntu? Want to do it on the hard drive? No, I want to do it on the other USB stick. Okay. And it will work. It will install on there, and then we'll say, where do you want to install the bootloader? And then you say, install the bootloader on the USB stick. So you haven't touched the operating system on the computer, but you're installing a live CD or a live operating system from one USB stick onto the other USB stick, actually using it as a hard drive. Okay. Now, you will get the option to encrypt your home folder. And it is very important that you actually click that option. What will happen is, instead of installing Linux on your hard drive, it will install it on the USB disk. But it will encrypt the part where you store your personal data. And you will need to enter your password and your login to unlock that part. So should that one USB stick, which has a Ubuntu that you just installed on it, fall into the wrong hands, they will see a bunch of files, but they will not see your personal home folder, your data, because that is encrypted and that can only be unlocked by booting the USB stick and giving it your login and your password. What you have right now is kind of like a USB live CD deluxe. So on one hand, you've got your USB live USB stick. You know, you put it in, it runs, you put it out, it forgets everything. It has Dory syndrome, you know. But on the other hand, you have an actual installed version of Ubuntu on the second USB drive. And you can put this into any computer, it will boot, and it will ask you for your login and your password. If you give your login and your password, it will unlock the encrypted home partition. And you can just work with it. You can install files and you can change settings. It's like a real installed computer, and you can drag it around with you anywhere. But the data that you put in your home folder is secure. I've played with this, and I went one step further where I did not only install one operating system to my USB stick, which was 16 gigs. I actually installed two of them side by side. Now, how does it work? Really easy. You just see it as a hard drive. You just tell the installer of whatever Linux distro that you want to work with to use the hard drive, to use the USB stick instead of the hard drive. Now, how do I use this? Actually, pretty cool. What I've done is I have that stick with me anywhere. So whenever I come across a system, I just yank it in and I boot up my own version of Linux. I've got a live CD, should I, you know, just quickly need to do things. But when I want my own operating system, I can actually use it, and I can actually choose between the two versions of Linux that I've installed on it. You cannot share the home drive between two partitions or two distributions, two versions of Linux, because you've encrypted it, but it's a nice little hack. You can also completely encode and encrypt the USB stick with your Linux distribution. And I'll put a link to that in the show notes, but I haven't chosen to go into that topic because we will get into sizes of USB sticks and how you can let them work for you a little bit later on. And because of the versatility of what I want to explain to you, I've chosen not to elaborate on the full disk encryption, but you can do that as well. You can not only encrypt your home folder, but you can encrypt the entire operating system on that USB stick. So whenever you stick it into your computer and you boot up, you will need a password before the operating system will even boot. That's also something you can do. I'll put some links to that in the show notes. So I'll give you some examples of how you can actually use all of these things, some practical examples of how you can have portable applications or encrypted files or encrypted operating systems or live CDs work for you. I mentioned a lot of them a little bit later. Before, I will mention some of them again and round up a little bit, and then it's time for us to pack it up. So let's see. Using this kind of technology is something that we can break up into a couple of parts. We can take a look at the toolkit part, you know, where you have your USB stick as a toolkit, as a live operating system that will help you to do things, either recover passwords or clone drives or use partitions or recover data, stuff like that. Really toolkit kind of stuff that will help you fix any computer. Live CDs are great for that. Live toolkits are great for that. Clonezilla, Gparted, whatever. You can use your USB thumb drives in a great way to have that toolkit handy whenever you need it. The second part is security. Whether or not you want to work on that dusty, grimy, malware-infested computer at the library or use your own operating system, that is something that you want to think about. Do you want to leave a trace on that computer? Don't you want to leave a trace on that computer? Are you unsure if there's a keylogger installed? Is it something that you're not allowed or supposed to do that you want to do on that computer? Those are great ways to use USB sticks with live operating systems to circumvent and enable you to do that. For example, use the Ubuntu Live CD, or use that not a live CD, but that installed version of Linux on that other USB stick to have your own personal operating system. That's also a great way to work with. Portable applications, what if you have an operating system in place, but you're not allowed to, or able to run all of the applications? Why not use something like portable apps? So that's something that is something that you want to use your USB sticks for as well. And of course, there is the fact of data encryption and security, where you really want the data that you have on your USB disks to be as secure as possible. And we talked about those implementations as well. For me, practically, I've got USB sticks with my toolkits on it. I've got a couple of live CDs that I have with me all of the time. And I have my my real Linux install on a stick that I drag with me anywhere. And that also has quite a few of my data on there. These are the three big categories that I have with me. I also use portable apps quite a bit, just to have them with me. They're in my toolkit, and my toolkit used to consist of a lot of CDs, but these days they're mostly, USB disks, or USB sticks with these tools right on them. Now there are different sticks out there. You've got the bigger drives, you got up to 16 gigabytes, 32 gigabytes, 64 gigabytes even, and you've got smaller ones. Now, having a 64 or 16 gigabyte USB stick and just installing a 300 megabyte live CD on it is kind of a waste. So what I do, I take my smaller drives, anything a gig to 2 to 4 gigs, and I use them for my portable apps. For example, the really small ones, I use them for portable apps. I put bookmarks on them, hyperlinks. They don't take any place. They don't take up any space anyway. I can just use them by clicking them. I always have some bookmarks with me, which are great if you actually need your bookmarks with you or if you need them for toolkits. And I use them for my portable tools. Like, for example, I've got a 1 gigabyte drive that is just a thumb drive that's great for Linux. I've got a 1 gigabyte thumb drive that's great for Gparted. All of the smaller ones I've kept for my portable tools and my portable applications. If you've got these bigger disks, you can actually do more. I've got a 16 gigabyte thumb drive, and what I've done is I've installed 7 live CDs on there. I've actually installed Ubuntu 32-bit, Ubuntu 64-bit, Mint 32-bit, Mint 64-bit, Backtrack, all of these different tools, and I've managed to get them on one CD or one USB stick. And which the tool that I use is MultiOS. I'll be put a link in the show notes. It works under Linux, but what you can tell it to do is actually install different live CDs onto your one USB stick and have a little menu when you boot up where you can actually pick and choose which one of these live CDs that you want to boot. I really like it because it has me, I've used it to have several versions of the latest distro that I like to use with me, and I can use it as an installer whenever I want to do a 30-bit or a 32-bit or a 64-bit version. I can just choose them. Otherwise, I would have one USB stick for each live CD, and now I've just got one big USB stick with 6 or 7 live CDs on there. And you can also use them to put all of your tools on there and actually make this master USB key that has different live CDs on it. What I also do when I have bigger drives is I partition them. I make 2 partitions of the drive. I put one partition with secure data and one partition with tools. For example, I've got a 16 gigabyte drive. 4 gigabytes is reserved for a live install of Ubuntu. Just, you know, the USB live CD or the USB live stick. I've got 4 gigabytes cornered for some applications, portable apps and stuff like that. And I've got 4 gigabytes cornered off for some data. So with one stick, I've got not only I have a portable operating system on there, which I can use, but I also have a separate partitions on there that is that has my portable apps. And I also have some data on there. So I can just pick and choose what I want to use. Do I want to use it as a live CD? I just plop it in and boot from it. If I am on a Windows machine, I could just plop it in and use the portable apps. And I can access my data that's on that disk from just about anywhere. I really like it. And then there is, of course, the disks that I use to do a real live Linux install on the USB disk. And you can also tell the installer to split up the disk into 2 parts where you actually install 2 Linux distributions or 2 distributions, whatever you want to use, side by side on the same disk by using partitions. Those are just a couple of tips when you've got these big USB sticks. So don't forget, it doesn't matter if you got a 16 gigabyte USB stick and it's partitioned into one piece, you can actually chop it up and do interesting things with that. And even if you have the smaller discs, you can still do it. There are some nice links that I found, and I'll try to put them in the show notes as well, where you can actually use your Android phone as a live USB disk. Where can you if you still have an old iPod that you can put into drive mode, why not turn that into a USB stick? And if you have a portable hard drive that uses the power from the USB port, you can even use that. It doesn't really have to be a stick. But you know, just some old stuff like an old iPhone, like an old iPod, or perhaps even your Android device lying around, you can also use that as a USB stick. So pretty cool stuff, pretty creative stuff. And I hope I've given you some ideas and some incentive to use those USB live CDs or USB sticks, sorry, thumb drives, whatever you want to call them, that are lying around. Well, that's all we have time for this week on the Edge of Real and Cyberspace. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Nightwise.com. Season 6, Episode 2, Life on a Stick. Tips and advanced tech tips and ideas of what you can do with a USB stick or a thumb drive. I hope you found the show interesting. Once again, you know where to go when you have some feedback. Feedback at nightwise.com. Take a look at our Google Plus group because we've got some interesting stuff there. I got, I did a dare 2 weeks ago where I challenged the community that if they were to reach a certain amount of members before a certain amount of time, I would sacrifice myself and lick a Windows Vista machine. The community complied and I had to make good on my dare. And there's a video on there of me licking an old Vista box. So don't ever tell me I don't have any dedication for my community. The Google Plus group is a great place to hang out. If you don't have a Google Plus account yet, you might want to take a look at it. It's a little bit geekier than Facebook and we like it geeky and nerdy. So a great community to join. Nightwise.com/Google Plus. News on the book. We are finalizing the articles and the corrections and I'm going into the final stage of the desktop publishing where I make everything look good, selecting some pictures. So the book will be coming soon and you will get your chance to get your own copy of On the Edge, a collection of 65 stories from a couple of years of Nightwise.com. That's all we have time for this week on the Edge of Real and Cyberspace. I really hope that you found the episode interesting and that you are going to get started with your own collection of USB discs, having the power of the geek dangling from your keychain, because quite frankly, that's how small they are getting these days. So see you guys and girls on the flip side. Until then, let technology, whether it's on a live CD, it's encrypted, non-encrypted, it's a portable application, a Linux distro, or just a toolkit or anything on a computer that you want to run, work for you. Instead, the other way around. See you guys on the flip side. And girls, I always forget, there were plenty of geeky girls in the Nightwise.com listener community. See you guys next week. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to the Nightwise.com podcast, the show with hacks, tips, and tweaks for cross-platform geeks. Send your feedback, questions, or start your own personal flame war by contacting us directly on feedback@nightwise.com or following us on Twitter, Facebook, or Google+. You can support the show by sharing it with your friends or writing us a nice iTunes review at www.nightwise.com/iTunes. Or, if you have some credits to spend, click the PayPal button on the Nightwise.com website to help us pay the bills. Just remember, there is real life outside cyberspace! But it's not all that important.